Amen, amen, amen. Go ahead and grab a seat. My name is DJ Iverson. I'm an associate pastor here at New Vintage Church. Just want to say thank you for joining us for worship. Today is a special Sunday for our church. One of my favorite Sundays. I was a youth pastor for a long, long time. And today is our graduation Sunday, where we lift up our high school graduates. You feel free to whoop or applause for them. That is fun. They've earned it. They've earned it. We'll give it to them. I love this time of year. I love watching kids leave. It's supposed to happen. It's bittersweet sometimes, most of the time. There's a handful of kids I remember in the youth ministry years. I was like, thank you, God. This kid's graduating. Most of the time, it's bittersweet, though. It's a mix of joy and reminiscing. And probably one of my favorite parts of the graduation season is just kind of all the topical wisdom that gets put out there. It works really well with where we're at in our sermon series. We're in a series called Even Though, and today we're going to be parked in Philippians chapter 3 again. So if you got your Bibles or your apps, you want to open up there, we'll be starting off in verse 12. I love the kind of pseudo-wisdom that goes around during graduation time. There's kind of a weird, it's fun too as you get older, and you start to hear the wisdom coming from high schoolers, and you're like, you're on point there. You're on, that one, maybe not so much. Yeah, you got a good point there. Nah, you're going to figure this one out pretty soon. I kind of go, I don't know if you're like me, if you hear the graduation speeches and you kind of grade them a little bit on, like, how much should we tell them and how much should we let them figure out on their own? I don't know. Maybe that's just me. But no, I do love one of my favorite parts is just the senior quotes from yearbooks and just the topical advice and the comedy there. I pulled some of my favorite graduation quotes from all time. Let's get the first one up there. First one is, I finally learned how to write good. I know our educators are getting a laugh out of that one. The next one, no, Miranda, your senior quote can't be fries before guys, Dad. That actually made it in. Congrats, Miranda. Good job on that one. I love this one. Any pizza is a personal pizza if you try hard enough. That's for our people that are like to achieve goals, our high achievers out there. And then this one, high school was easy. It was like riding a bike, except the bike was on fire and the ground was on fire and everything was on fire because it wasn't easy. I don't know if some of you can relate to that high school experience. And then this last one is my favorite, and here's why. It's everybody's favorite. And I love that. You know, it comes from Robert Frost, two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by. What I love about this is outside of any scripture, this is the number one quote in senior yearbooks almost every year. And I just love that irony of, like, taking the road less traveled by using the most popular senior quote out there. That's my kind of sense of humor there. Now, we're going to talk a little bit today. We're in Philippians chapter 3. What I love about this, and this is just the way God lines stuff up is amazing sometimes. This is a letter from Paul in prison to his friends at the church in Philippi, and it reads like advice that we would give seniors in high school. It reads like that advice that we would like to pass on to our graduating seniors. And so we're going to power through the passages today one at a time and just kind of pull the advice from that passage that we can pass on to our seniors. And also for the rest of us, if you were here last week, Pastor Marcus reminded us, for those of us that have been in the faith for a while, it's okay for us to hear this again. We might need a refresher course. I'm not saying we have it all together. I'm not saying we don't. I'm just saying there's probably one or two of us out there that could probably use a little bit of a refresher course on some godly wisdom in our lives right now. With that being said, let's go ahead and plow through. We're going to go down to Philippians 3, starting in verse 12. Not that I have already attained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. There's a couple big things there, and first and foremost, I want to point out, if you're taking notes, or if you want to take a pictures, you know, pull your phone out, take a pictures of the slides for notes. There's going to be a bunch of little pieces of biblical wisdom here today. They're all going to be on this slide. So if you see this slide up, feel free to take this background up. Feel free to take a photo, write it down, whatever. What this passage tells us is focus on the future. The world would say focus on the now. Be in the moment. Be present in the moment. Be fully aware. And there's a little bit of wisdom to that. Obviously, we want to understand where we are and what we're doing. But what Paul is saying here is we should always keep our future in the presence of this kingdom that we live in the forefront of our attention. We keep focusing on what is ahead of us. What's behind us has already happened. It's helped shape us. It's helped create our story. It's helped guide us to where we are. It's gotten us to this place. And so it serves a purpose, but our focus, the majority of our attention, should be on what is ahead. Where is God calling me to? Not what has God called me from. And so there's a balance there, and I think the world would say, no, you want to focus on right here and right now. What makes you feel good today? What can you do today to have fun or relax or be comfortable? The next part says press on towards the goal. When he says press on towards the goal, what I think we need to keep in mind when he says press on towards the goal is to understand that there is a little bit of a struggle there. It's not just ease into the goal, not slide into the goal, but press on, recognizing that there's difficulty ahead, and not just recognizing that, but asking us to embrace the difficulties in front of us. And I think that's something unique and special that God calls us to do, is to embrace difficulty. Next part of this, the reward. What are we working towards? Well, Paul says we're rewarded with Christ. We're rewarded with the ability to be fully present and worshiping with God, in a place and a time where all things are made right. All justice has come to order. All struggle is behind us. And it's just us and God in a community of worship together. That's what Paul is talking about as his reward. In comparison, what we typically offer up, and really the only thing that the world can offer up, is comfort now. I want you to feel good. If you work hard, you can make a lot of money so that you can relax. Right? We want you to go get a good job so that you can pay your bills, so that you can get through this system, get through this cycle, and hopefully in there you'll have some time where you can build up some comfort for yourself. And I would argue that our culture probably values comfort over anything else. That's the end goal for so much that our culture tells us to seek. We want you to be comfortable. We want you to feel good about this. And that's not what Paul is calling us to. Paul is saying, actually, I want you to stay pushing yourself. I want you to stay embracing the challenges that God pushes before you, because there's a kingdom at stake here. On to the next verse, Philippians 3:15. All of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. If you are mature, you will understand that there's more to life than just seeking comfort. As you get older, you will realize this. There's more to life than just work and obtaining money and collecting trophies, etc., etc. Next slide. The cool part is, what I love, Paul drops in here kind of quickly, and I wanted to take note of this. God says he will make it clear. When it comes to priorities, when it comes to things that matter, that truly matter, God will make it clear, even if you don't see it now. Now, for a lot of us, this is very encouraging. I love the idea of, God, I'm in the middle of it. I don't see it now, but I trust that you'll let me sometime. That sometime soon, you'll allow me to see what it is that you have in store for me here. And that you'll make it clear that this race is not for me, and this race is what I'm called to be a part of. I'm not called to press on this earth. I'm called to press on in this kingdom. Now, the flip side of this coin is, God will make it clear if you don't see it. I have some friends that don't see it. And when something bad happens in their life, and God is calling to them in that moment, say, this should be rock bottom, right? This is the time to make that change. The prayer is that you see it. Because the truth of the matter is, God will keep sending you those moments until you see clearly. And so the question is, how many moments do we need? How many difficult situations do we need? How many hours of exhaustion do we need before we start to see clearly where our priorities should be? So it says, God will make it clear even if you don't see now. That can be good. That can be very, very difficult. Either way, it's true. Philippians 3:16. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Okay. What have we attained? Well, in the context of the scripture, what he is talking about here is a salvation that comes from the Lord. In previous verses in this chapter, he's talking about, he's given his life over to Christ. He's received that salvation of the Lord. And so the call now is, live up to that salvation. What does that mean? Salvation is a process. It's a process of redemption. It's happened, and it keeps happening over and over and over again. That's the beauty of salvation. It's not a one and done. It's a one and done and done and done and done and done etc., etc. It's a process over and over and over again. And this is, if we go through scripture, this is kind of how we piece this process together. We have sin in our lives, right? Amen. We have sin in our lives. We can all agree on that. You can throw it, feel free to throw. We're not going to judge here. Throw a hand up. We might judge if you don't throw a hand up, actually. We have sin in our life, right? We have a call to repent and an opportunity to repent from that sin, right? We have forgiveness for that sin. We have gratitude. We abide in graciousness and grace. It fuels us because we know the sin, we know the repentance process, we understand that we're forgiven, and so we live in a place of gratitude. And what does that bring us to? That brings us to growth. So that trip to the next sin gets fewer and farther between. Gets less and less about the same thing over and over again. So the process is still there, right? We'll continually be in this process of salvation until we meet the full glory of God. So, let's live like we've attained that. Let's live like we are in the process of salvation, so that we understand, hey, if somebody has sinned, this is where they're at. If someone is trying to repent, this is where they're at. If someone is working on the forgiveness, forgiving themselves, understanding the forgiveness of God, this is where they're at. If someone is thankful and gracious and full of joy, that this is where they're at. And as we're giving people room to grow and change, we celebrate, this is where they're at. Let's live like we're in the process of salvation. Philippians 3:17. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. All right, hands down, my favorite piece of advice in this scripture for seniors. Follow those who provide a godly example. Church, say it with me. Follow those who provide a godly example. One more time, say it with me. Follow those who provide a godly example. The number one piece of advice I give to our graduating seniors is this. Go find a good church home. I'll help you if you need it. But the most important thing, if you're going off to college, if you're heading out, the number one piece of advice that I like to give our graduating seniors is this. Go find a good church home. There is no substitute for being around godly people. And you're at a time in your life where it's pivotal to be around a good influence. When you're a kid, when you're a little kid, your friends are the kids of your parents' friends. You don't have a choice. Parents like hanging out. You guys figure out a way to get along, right? Elementary school, your friends are the kids that you sit next to. Hey, can we share an eraser? Yes. Awesome. You're my best friend. Thank you, Keenan Ricks, best friend in elementary school. Always let me share He always had a cool mechanical pencil. That was the depth of our friendship. Totally cool with that. We were six. As you get older, it becomes more and more about your personality, the things that you're into, the sports, the music, etc. By the time that you reach college, your brain is making a change in how you relate to people. And it's less about the activities that you're into and who you are and the beliefs at the core of your soul. That's great you guys like the same movie, but do you believe the same things? Those are who your friends are going to be from pretty much here on out in your life. And so you want to take special care and attention to surround yourselves with people that will point you to God. And I want to make a note here. The scripture says keep an eye on. It doesn't say isolate yourself. When I say surround yourself with good friends, with godly people, what I'm not talking about is isolate yourself on an island so that nobody else can get in. The scripture doesn't say isolate yourself. It says surround yourself. You may be here in that process of salvation. There may be somebody right here that needs a hand. Let them in. Bring them in. Bring them with you. What better friend to have than somebody who's struggling at the core of their soul with the same thing so that you can walk together with the Lord and grow together with the Lord. Amen? Amen? Here's a cool one. You guys are going to love this. My favorite memories in college come from times where I wasn't with my friends. I wasn't around people my age. I'm going to pull another part from this scripture here. And I think Paul would agree with his advice. And this is great advice, especially for our college kids and for our young adults, kind of getting started out in the world on our own. It's a pivotal time in your life to hear this. And this is advice that I still abide by today. Let's go to the next slide. Oh, never mind. I forgot to put on the slide. Go back. Find a mentor. Find a spiritual mentor. Find somebody who is further down the road than you are, who is willing to help guide you through the next few passes. Find a spiritual mentor, someone who can speak into your life, somebody who can speak to your soul, and somebody whose words drip with biblical wisdom. Find yourself a mentor. Find yourself somebody who shows what being Christ-like in action is about and has done it for a long time. We had a guy in my school, Big Don Robinson. Big Don was a mechanic. His hands were massive. His fingers were probably as big around as they were long. Just had this, like, grip of a handshake. And he would come into the line in the cafeteria once or twice a week, and he would pull some guys, I'm taking you to lunch. Let's go. And not just anywhere. It was an all-you-can-eat place. It was a Golden Corral buffet. And we did some damage on that buffet. Y'all want to see some people get some money's worth at a buffet? You get some broke, hungry college dudes. He'd get like 10 of us. Every week, pull us from line, go sit down and feed us. And those conversations were just dripped with biblical wisdom. Church. Find you a college kid. Go take them out to lunch. open up your home for some free laundry. Look for those who are looking for a mentor. If you're older in the faith and you don't have somebody younger in the faith to speak into their lives, I encourage you to do so today. God will reward you and bless you in ways that you cannot possibly imagine, in ways that absolutely keep the kingdom going. We talk about, we use this imagery in the youth ministry a lot, that there's this parade that goes through time. And this parade, you know, guys like Paul who've been at the front of the parade and they've been passing the baton on to the people coming behind them. And that parade has been marching for generations and generations. Paul gave this letter to somebody in Philippi. Somebody in Philippi took Paul's words and shared those words with somebody younger. And they shared those words with somebody younger. And they shared that message from God with somebody younger. Fast forward a few years, and here we are. Somebody shared the word with you. Whoever shared the word with them had somebody to share the word. Amen. It goes on and on and on. And what a beautiful parade to be a part of. Young folks, find a mentor. Old folks, be a mentor. Philippians 3:18. For as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Real short. We've seen a lot of kids fall away. In 20 years of youth ministry, it happens. And it's heartbreaking. People ask, what's the toughest part of youth ministry? It's when they leave and you can't make the decisions for them. Parents know how we feel, amen? It's that ability to control the decisions that are made and watching somebody make a bad decision or something you know that's not wise and not being able to do much about it, not being able to speak much about it or have that voice in there, it brings tears, right? So my encouragement for our seniors, stick with it. Stick with it. Stick with the church. You may be hearing things and learning things and developing new ways of viewing the world. Okay, stick with the church. You may be in a place where, well, that's not like at home and it's not like my youth group. Stick with it. Stick with it. Philippians 3:19. We've got a couple of comparisons we'll do here in a second. This one's chock full of some advice. Get ready to take some pictures. Write down some notes here. Philippians 3:19, their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. All right, let's do this real quick. We are destined for glory. We're designed to be destined for glory. What we see around us are folks who are destined for destruction. There's things that get popularized. There's people who say, well, it's college. You're supposed to do this and that and whatever. No. Not necessarily. Maybe in a worldly point of view, but in a godly point of view, you are destined for glory. Next. Watch what you eat. Now, there's a physical, literal part of that. Obviously, probably not the best example to be that sermon. Just watch what you eat in the means of what do you consume? What do you feed your soul? Our world has an appetite for destruction. If you get that reference, you know how bad that appetite can be. Watch what you eat. Watch what you put into your soul. Next, this is an underrated one. Take pride in your name. I remember my dad gave me a speech before college. He said, remember the name on the back of your jersey. You're going out, you're going to a new school, you're going to be around a new people. You're still my son. Will do. God has given us the cloak of Jesus Christ. We wear the name Christian in our lives. Let's wear that name with pride. If we're going to wear the name of Christ in our lives, let's wear that name with the pride that is due from who we follow. The world takes glory in shame. I grew up in the Jackass era. This is the best example of this possible. What's the most idiotic thing that you can do? Let's put it on TV and let's see how many people can like it. I know that's totally not happening now. Right? The world will find glory in shame. Who's the worst person we can put on TV? Give them a show. But their lives are going to fall apart. Even better. Right? Take pride in the name that you have been given as sons and daughters of Christ. Next. We talked about this a little before. Focus on the kingdom. Focus on the eternal. There's an upside-down kingdom that we live in as Christians. The meek inherit the earth. The humble are in charge. The first are last. The last are first. Things are backwards and upside down from the world. If you say I don't fit in, good. Hey, this doesn't seem to line up with what I've heard outside of the walls of the church. Awesome. Focus on the eternal. You can make a lot of money. You can donate a lot of stuff to a school that has your name on it, a hospital wing that bears your name, etc. Those are great things. But if you want to build a true legacy, pass the word of God on. Pass the kindness, the humility, the gentleness of God, the peacefulness of God onto others. Make this place more like heaven. If you want to have a true lasting impact in this world, make this place more like heaven. Lastly, Philippians 3, 20 through 21. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so they will be like his glorious body. We live in a different kingdom. Our body is the body of Christ. Our bodies are not our bodies. Our bodies are sacred temples of the Christ that we align ourselves with. And they're in a transformation process. We're transforming into glory day after day after day. And that's the final word of encouragement. The world will tell you, stay cool, have a great summer. I'd like to tell everyone that wrote in my yearbook, I did stay cool. I have had some great summers. But I didn't stay the same. I've been transformed over and over and over again. And I'm still being transformed every day. Being saved every day by the glory of God, by his son who died on the cross. We're going to celebrate him now in communion. If you didn't get communion on your way in, you can feel free to go ahead and pick up communion now. We're going to have a time of a communion together where we celebrate Christ's broken body and his blood. And we say thank you to God for the sacrifice that he has made, the transformation that he calls us to, that he allows us to live in, and that we will continue to live in day after day. Let's pray together. God, we're thankful for this time. We're thankful for the body of Christ, the blood of Christ. We're thankful for the transformation that takes place every day. God, we're thankful for Paul's wisdom here. We're thankful for our seniors, for our graduates. We're thankful for those of us that just need to hear a good word from the Lord. God, we're thankful for the way that you piece this all together and continue to build us up. Lord, may we continue to be focused on the kingdom, not on earthly things. In your son's holy name we pray. Amen.